The early days of Baha'u'llah's married life passed happily. Asiya Khanum was very pleased with such a wonderful husband and healthy and beautiful children. Abdu Baha, who was 8 years old, and his sister Bahiya Khanum, who was not more than 6 years old, lived in their house, which radiated the love of their parents. They spent their summers in the cool and beautiful village of Takur, where the children were very happy. Takur had a mountain range along one side, the peaks of which seemed to touch the blue sky and whisper secrets to God. Along the other side flowed a river of clear water. There was a garden full of flowers which perfumed the whole area. What an enjoyable and pleasant atmosphere they lived in. But alas, one day a tragic incident took place which upset their beautiful lives. When Asiya Khanum and her children were in Tehran, a servant rushed into the house and in a worried tone said, "They have arrested the master. I saw them take him away, even though he had no shoes on. His feet were bleeding. His hat had fallen off. His clothes torn. And there was a chain around his neck." This horrible news came as such a shock to Asiya Khanum that she grew pale. The children were so frightened on hearing this that they began to tremble and cry. As soon as the news reached their relatives and friends, they were so terrified that they fled in fear of their own lives and left Asiya Khanum completely alone, except Isfandiyar and the Negress maid servant, the only ones who did not forsake her. Very soon the people rushed into the house and plundered and looted everything. The beautiful carpets, velvet cushions, the ornaments, and whatever they could lay their hands on, so that when at night the family wanted to sleep, they were left with nothing to cover themselves with. On one occasion, when Abdu'l-Bahá was recounting the happenings of those days, he said, "One night we owned just about everything, and the next morning they had robbed us of it, all to the extent that we had nothing left to eat. I was hungry, and we did not even have bread. My mother gave me a little flour in my hand to eat. In spite of this, we were happy." Mirza Musa, the faithful brother of Baha'u'llah, helped them to leave that house and move to two small rooms which he rented. He was able to save a few ornaments, which were tokens of the marriage of Baha'u'llah and Asiya Khanum. Nasiruddin Shah and the Prime Minister confiscated all of Baha'u'llah's wealth, leaving them without any material means. The wealth of the Blessed Beauty was not only his land, but he had many precious things. One of them was a string of pearls, at that time worth about 10,000 tumans. Each pearl bead was the size of a nut, and between each pearls was an emerald. The rosary chaplet was very beautiful. And after the confiscation, the Holy Family was so much in need of money that they had to pledge it for 1,000 tumans. As profit went to profit, they could not get it back. Abdu'l-Bahá says that if that pearl necklace was in his hands in Paris, he could have sold it for 100,000 francs, or tumans. Another precious article which the Holy Family had to sacrifice was a sample of the beautiful handwriting of Imam Ali. But as Abdu'l-Bahá mentioned, his family felt no attachment to this world. The cause of Baha'u'llah's arrest was a mistake committed by two half-crazy young Babis who believed that it was the Shah, the king, who was to blame for the martyrdom of their beloved, the Bab. Being filled with anger, they lost self-control and awaited revenge. One morning, when the Shah emerged from the palace ground, one of them shot at him. The ministers of the state and many nobles rushed to the wounded Shah. From the weapon used by the young Babis, it was clear that no man of sound judgment could have possibly attempted so senseless an act. This foolish incident happened on August 15, 1852. An army of enemies, including the state ministers and many people who had united in relentless vengeance towards the Babis, had then at long last achieved their purpose. Later, the guilty young Babis were horribly tortured. The hardships the Babis had to face were hideous. An Austrian officer working for the Shah at that time was so horrified at the cruelties he had been forced to see that he resigned from his job and wrote a letter to his friend in Austria saying, "The Babis' eyes are plucked out and their ears cut off, and then they must eat their own ears. Their teeth are torn out by the executioner's hand, and their skulls are crushed by the blows of a hammer. Many of them have cut holes in their chest into which oil is placed, and a burning wick set inside, turning the poor Babis into living torches. They skin the soles of the Babis' feet, soak them in burning oil, shoe the foot like the hoof of a horse, and force the poor man to run. After all of these tortures, when they are half dead, the Babis are tied to a tree by their hands and feet, with their heads downwards, and many people shoot at them with bullets. You may not believe what I write, but I only wish that God had not made me to live to see these things." From the above narration, it is easy to recount the fate of Baha'u'llah, known as the true guide of the Babi community. Therefore, the enemies accused him of being the chief instigator of the attempt made on the Shah's life. In consequence, it was planned to arrest him. Baha'u'llah, in reality, was innocent. Henceforth, the life of the Blessed Beauty was in great danger, and everybody's attention was fixed on him. Even the Grand Vizier, knowing that Baha'u'llah's life was in danger, asked him to go in the neighborhood until the hue and cry had subsided. But Baha'u'llah disregarded this suggestion. It is the guilty who is fearful, not the innocent. The next morning he mounted his horse and with courage and confidence proceeded towards the camp of the Shah in the north of Tehran, Niavaran. On the way, he visited his brother-in-law, who was the secretary to the Russian ambassador. Some of the government officials who had seen Baha'u'llah near Niavaran immediately informed Nasiruddin Shah and his companions, who were very surprised and wondered how it was possible for a man who was accused of such a great crime to come out so bravely from his house instead of hiding. Baha'u'llah was on his way from Tehran to Niavaran when the soldiers arrested him. They led him barefoot and without a hat towards the dungeon of Syed Shah on a hot and blistering summer day. Along the way, people full of enmity abused him. Why did they treat him in such a manner? They did not know the reason for their actions. As they were approaching the dungeon, an old woman with angry eyes suddenly came forward. She abused Baha'u'llah continuously and wanted to throw a stone at his blessed face. The soldiers came forward to prevent her from doing this. But the old woman swore and begged, "Please, for the sake of God, let me throw this stone at him and gain a reward in my old age." Hearing this, Baha'u'llah told the soldiers not to stop her, but let the old woman gain her reward. How the people had lost their spiritual eyes and ears! Although they were looking straight into Baha'u'llah's innocent face, They never stopped to think even a little about him. The mullahs had told them that Baha'u'llah was the enemy of God's religion and their country. They blindly believed their words and inflicted all kinds of cruelties on the Blessed Beauty.